so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Morning again, everybody. I'd like to introduce somebody who's going to help me today. Would you please welcome Miss Heidi Reisner today? She's going to... That's my girl right there. 30 years ago, we just went away this past weekend. Pastor Jacob filled in for us this past weekend, and I heard he did fantastic. Wow, what a great fill-in. Pastor Jacob, the big boss, the world's tallest anointed Mexican man I've ever met. And I just want to give you a flashback picture if we can do this. Here's what 30 years ago. I want to give you this picture. There it was. Heidi was 15. It looked Johnny Depp looking kind of fly. So anyway, that was 30 years ago. That was our announcement in the newspaper. How many of y'all remember, do they still do that? They put the announcement in the newspaper, and that was our announcement. And it's been the ride of our life. And so we were got to get away a little bit and then come back today. So we thought as we end this series called Relationship Goals to talk a little bit about marriage today and just kind of give you some lessons that we've learned through the years, some of the hard way. And, you know, wisdom is sometimes you can make the mistake and learn the hard way, or you can learn from somebody else's mistake and go ahead. How many know that one's always easier? And even if you're single today, don't tune out. Lean in. Because we may give you some of the answers before you have to take the test. And so you might be able to grab some things that you need to hold on to as we go through this today. So we're going to start today. And would you one more time give it up for my girl, Heidi.
Thank you, baby. Good morning. We're excited about today. We do this about once a year. We'll do every February, all of our campuses will do a relationship series. And we do it because we are committed to help you have better relationships in your life. And today we're going to talk about the marriage relationship in particular. And we're committed to help you have a great marriage. You don't have to just settle for the mediocre. You don't have to just settle just to get by and just have a roommate in your house. You don't have to settle for that. We are committed to help you have a great marriage, no matter whether you're on the journey of 1 or 2 years of marriage, or whether you're on the journey of 50 years of marriage. And it's not because we're perfect, because we're not. But God has taught us a lot along the way. We've learned a lot of things the hard way, like Eugene said. We've learned from our mistakes many times. And we've also pastored people for 30 years. And we've walked people and families and couples and marriages through some high mountaintops and some really, really deep valleys. And so just sharing that with y'all today. And like I said, no matter where you're at, whether you're at the beginning of a marriage, or whether you're hoping to be married, or whether you've been married many, many years, marriages, in order for marriages to be great, they have to consistently be growing. You can't get to, okay, we've been married 10 years, and we just go, okay, we're just going to coast from here on out. That doesn't work, because if you're not growing, you're becoming stagnant. And stagnant water, you know stagnant water. What happens to stagnant water when it's stagnant for so long? It stinks. And so you've got to continually be growing. And Eugene and I, again, we celebrated our 30-year anniversary this past week, and we're having conversations and going, how can we do better? How can I be a better wife? Is there anything that you need to tell me that I can be better and that I want to be the greatest wife I can be? Him asking the same question. So today, that's what today is about. We're going to share with you some things that we've learned along the way, but hopefully we're going to open up the doorway to some conversations that y'all can have leaving here, and that you're having those same conversations, again, no matter what chapter of the book you're in. And you may see us in chapter 30 of our marriage book and our life book. And you may say, oh, Pastor Eugene and Miss Heidi, and they're so wonderful, and yeah, 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 and if I had a marriage like that, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, let me just tell you, if y'all saw us and knew us chapters 1 through 5, Y'all wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't come to this church, and you certainly wouldn't be sitting here listening to anything we have to say. Trust me. But it's chapter 30 in the book of being committed to one another to continue to grow and get better every single year. So hopefully today it's going to be a blessing, and again, it's going to open up some conversations for your marriage and between you and your spouse. Number one, we've got six things that we talked about and discussed and said these are some of the major lessons we've learned along the way. It's not an exhaustive list. We could sit here and talk all day, but we just, some of our top six things that we're going to share with you today. Number one is this, and this was one of the revelations that I got that I had to get the hard way, was I cannot change my husband. I can only change me. I cannot change my husband. I can only change me. And it took me several years to realize this, because if y'all know me very well or have been around very long, I'm a strong, independent, strong, independent, lovely, godly, strong woman. Strong woman. And I decided once we got married that it was my job to change him. And I started seeing all the things that were not right and all the things he did wrong and all the things he said wrong and all the habits that weren't great and all da 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 da. And so I took it upon myself, surely God made me strong so that I could change this husband of mine, bless his heart. And so things he would do to aggravate me or just upset me, I'd be so mad about and upset, and I would go to God in prayer. Well, I would say what I needed to say to him first, which didn't work. So then I decided, okay, I better go to God. Maybe God can help me. And I would pray, and I would pray, God, change him. Can't you see what he's doing? Can't you see what he's saying? Can't you see what he's doing to me? Can't you see, God? And I would pray and pray and pray. And this went on for a few years. I would like to say it went on for a couple of weeks and I got the lesson. But no, it went on for several years. And it was amazing what would happen in my prayer time when I would pray about Eugene in every way he needed to change. That God never agreed with me. And God never said, Heidi, you are right. Girl, I don't even know how you've lasted this long. You are right. I'm going to do something with him. That was never the conversation God had with me. The conversation God had with me was never about Eugene. It was always about me. And he would always put his finger on my heart and show me things that I needed to change and ways I needed, adjustments I needed to have in my attitude, a different way I needed to speak, how I was supposed to speak to him, how I was supposed. He would always, prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer, was always about Heidi, and it was never about Eugene. Until one day, several years down the road, it took me a while, that I remember just surrendering to God, because I was so frustrated and I was so aggravated and things weren't getting better. And I just remember surrendering. And I remember in prayer one day just going, God, I give up. I can't change this man. And clearly you're showing me that the only responsibility and the only authority and the only power I have to change anybody is my own heart. And so from that day forward, I began to change what God was putting in my heart to change. I had responsibility for one person, and that was for me. And I couldn't change anyone else. And when I started doing the changes and letting God speak to me about me and me being obedient to what God was showing me to change, it was amazing to watch the work that God began doing in Eugene. It was amazing that he began doing a work in my husband that I had prayed for, but it wasn't because of my prayers of nagging anymore to Eugene or to God. It was a changing of my own heart. And the greatest revelation was when I surrendered that to God and go, God, I'm going to work on changing my heart, because that's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job for me. And I'm going to let you do the changing that you need to do in him.
Very good. Very true, by the way.
It is true.
It is true. So if you want to change your husband,
change you.
Okay, yeah. Let me give you number two. Talk to the men just for a second. Number two is God holds me responsible for the family. As the husband, God holds me responsible. Let me show you a couple of verses. We'll go back to the very first place where marriage was instituted in the book of Genesis. Let me show you Genesis chapter 2, 15 in the Amplified Version says, "So the Lord God took the man he had made, Adam, and he settled him in the Garden of Eden, and read that with me, to cultivate it and to keep it. So God gives man a responsibility, and that garden belongs to him. He gave it to him. I want you to keep it, look after it, but I also want you to cultivate, which is always making improvements, to cultivate something, always improving it. And then I want to take you to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, and I want to show you, of course, we know the fall is coming, and Eve is going to be deceived by the serpent, Satan. She's going to take the fruit first, and then she's going to influence her husband, and he also is going to take the fruit. So they've already sinned, and now they're in the garden, and they're hiding, and that's where we pick it up. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man. He called to the man. He's coming to you. In fact, all of us men, we are going to stand before this God one day. And I think we're going to be asked, what did you do with the woman that I gave you? He's going to ask you, what did you do? Did you keep it? Did you keep her? And did you cultivate her? So God's holding, remember, who sinned first? Eve. Watch what happens. Where are you? He said, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? The man replied, watch what he replies. It was the woman you gave me. Look at me. We've been blame shifting ever since. Did you hear me? We've been blame shifting ever since. As Heidi was saying, she can't change me, she can only change your heart. And it was miraculous what God began to do with me when she focused on her own heart. The same is true vice versa, that you aren't going to change the woman. You've just got to take responsibility. You can never get to the next chapter, and you're going, I'm stuck in this chapter. We're stuck until men, you're willing to take responsibility. Eve, I think, gets too much credit, if you will, negative credit for the first sin. I think it was really Adam. I think he sinned first. He didn't bite it first. No, it's not the sin of commission, committing a sin. I think it's the sin of not doing what he should have been doing. So when Satan came and knocked at the door of their house, he was at the hunting camp. And when Eve opened the door, who should have opened that door? Adam should have been there and said, no, not at my house. We're going to serve the Lord. That ain't happening. You get on out of here. So he wasn't. It was the sin of omission. God holds us responsible. And if you're not in a good chapter right now, and Heidi's right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, chapter 6, probably chapter 7, first 7 years, probably chapter 14 or so in there. There was these peaks and valleys, you know, that you walk through. But until I understood that I had to take responsibility, God was holding me responsible for where we are. He's going to call your name. And you're going to say, well, if she would, then, where are you, Adam? Where are you at? I'm holding you responsible. I gave you the responsibility that I'm also going to give you the authority in order to lead this family for the purposes of God. Do y'all receive that this morning? Heidi got a hand clap. I didn't get anything. I just got... Thank you. That's pity.
When you have to ask for a hand clap, it doesn't count. Number three, one of the lessons, this was the big one. And we could do a whole series on this, a whole message on this. We could talk about this for a long time. One of the major, major revelations that I had to learn, and many times the hard way, was that submission is not a bad word. Submission is not a bad word. And whether you're a teenager, whether you're a man or a woman, and you hear the word submission, something on the inside of us just goes, because it's not a word that we like to hear. It has such a bad connotation to it. It's been abused. It's been used in a negative way. It's been used to beat people over the head. It's been used in all the wrong ways in so many experiences of our life. But just because it's been used in the wrong way doesn't mean that it's not right and it's not biblical. And so in Ephesians, I'm going to read to you where this all started. And where the word submit, because we hear the verse all the time that's taken out of context. Wives, submit to your husbands. So if husbands don't know any other verse, they know that verse, and they're going to say, wives, submit to your husband. Wives, submit. Okay. But we're going to back up and read a little bit before that. In verse 21, the verse before, it speaks to the wives. It says this, Paul speaking, and he says this. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And then he goes and explains that a little bit. Then he goes down to verse 25 and talks about how the husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so as Christians, our whole Christian walk and our whole Christian journey is about submission. Submission is not less than. It's not lower than. It's not weaker than. It's not as good as. That's not what submission is. Submission is the posture of our hearts. The posture of our hearts. The word submission means getting under another mission. That's how we live our lives as Christians. That we live, our lives are not our own. And that when we walk with Christ and we walk with God, that our lives aren't our own anymore. And there's going to be some things that God asks us to do that we're not going to like. There's going to be some things He says in His Word that we are to live a certain way that we're not going to like. But if we love God and if we're committed to Him and committed to live our lives serving Him, we're going to submit to what God asks of us and what the Word of God asks of us. It's no different in our marriage. It's no different at all. And for the first several years of our marriage, Eugene and I butted heads a lot because I had only seen one way growing up. I had seen one way. The one way was this. Women were in charge. They drove the bus and they led the family. That's all I had seen. And so when we got married, I just stepped right in and followed suit. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Move over, big guy. Mama's got the bus now. But what I didn't realize is that I had married a man stronger than myself. And somebody who wasn't going to let Mama drive the bus like I thought I was going to. Because I didn't know any different and I hadn't seen any different. And then we learn the lesson of submitting one to another, not only to God, that we're to submit to our husbands as unto the Lord. We're to submit to one another. Eugene and I are submitted to our pastors, Pastor Jacob and Michelle. That we're submitted, a posture of our heart is that we're submitted to the leaders around us. We're submitted to one another. We're submitted to one another in our marriage as well. But as wives, we are to submit to our husbands. There's all the disclaimers that I could give you. And there's probably all the excuses you're thinking in your mind as well. But this is what I found to be true about women. And please hear my heart and please know that I am for you and not against you. And please know that I'm speaking from one strong woman to a room and a community of strong women. If submission is an issue of your heart in your marriage, then it's most probably an issue in your heart with God and with other people. Because you cannot pick and choose who you submit to. We either submit to God wholeheartedly and commit to Him, and we submit to our mate wholeheartedly and commit to Him, them and one another, or we don't. And submission is this. Again, it's not less than. It's not changing who I am. It doesn't take away my strength. I can be very independent. I cannot need other people in my life, including my husband. But by me not walking in submission to my husband, it takes away the very anointing that God's given him to lead our family well if I'm up in the front trying to lead it myself. God doesn't anoint me to lead our family. He anoints my husband to lead our family, and I walk in a posture of submission toward him with that. So girls, it's not a bad word. It's not. And it's something, if we can learn that, it's amazing how your life's going to go, because you're going to be able to submit to God and to others as we learn to submit one to another in our marriage. Yeah.
Strong. Let me give you number four. Let me give it with a disclaimer. If you have walked through a divorce, and you've heard me say 100 times, if you've been married twice, thrice, thrice, I don't know what five is, just, we all have BC days. We all have before Christ. We all have. How many thank God for the grace of God, the mercy of the Lord, that the forgiveness has happened? So all I want to say is whichever one you're on, just make this the last one, right? This is it. This is the last one. And so I want to give the disclaimer, because we all have fallen short of the glory of God. So there's no, don't receive any kind of condemnation on your life, because God's forgiven you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So that's my disclaimer. Number four, no matter where you're at, what marriage you're on, divorce is not an option. It's not an option. That word was taken out of our vocabulary from the very beginning. We said, we'll never use that word. That word will never be used. We're going to work it out. We're going to hit our bumps in the road. As Heidi said, she is strong and now interdependent. Strong, and I figured, hey, we walked into this thing, and it was a fight for who was going to rule. Who was going to be the leader. And I wasn't backing down. So that was first 5 to 7 years. It was on. Like Donkey Kong. And so let me show you a verse. It's found in Ephesians 4:26 that we said, "This we're going to live this. We're going to submit to the Lord, and we're going to live this verse." In Ephesians 4:26, it says, "In your anger," everybody say anger, "do not sin." Now, it doesn't say don't be angry. How many of you have ever gotten angry at your spouse? Raise your hand. You lie, you fry, you're in church. Yeah, if you've ever gotten angry, there's nothing wrong with being angry. Okay, if you're mad right now, kiss and make up real quick. Ready? It's okay to be angry. It's not saying don't be angry. He's saying, hey, when you do get angry, because you're going to get angry, there are going to be some things that anger you. Anger may not be a bad thing. Anger, that passion and anger, because it is a passion emotion, shows that there's something in there that you really care. If you didn't really care, you wouldn't be angry about it. You'd be indifferent about it. In fact, it's okay when couples come and sit on the couch with us at times to walk through some counseling. They're usually mad. They're ticked. And we let it out. Get it out. It's a good sign that they're angry. But the scripture does tell us, but don't sin. You got to be careful of not saying things that you got to try to get back in, right? Rewind. It says, do not sin. And look what he says. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. In other words, get a resolve. It's okay to be angry. Let's get it out. But at some point, you got to resolve it. You got to get to the end. What does that mean? Have y'all ever gone to bed mad? Yes, we have. There have been times we've had to call a truce because we weren't getting anywhere. And we said, okay, we're going to have to bring somebody else in to help us navigate this, because neither one of us were budging and seeing it the other way. And so we're going to work it out. No matter what, we're going to resolve it. Sometimes that lasted till 3 o'clock in the morning, because we were going to follow and submit to the scripture, but we were going to work it out. By the way, men, if I could just give you a free one. Being right is not all it's cracked up to be. I'd rather be reconciled than be right. Right is right will get you on the couch. I'd rather be reconciled. And so you can swallow your pride and go, baby, then my bad. I'll take responsibility for where we are. And right's not all it's cracked up to be. And again, if you can't navigate it, call a truce, go to bed, and then get up in the morning and call your small group leader, call somebody that you're in Christian relationship with and say, could you sit with us and help us navigate this out so that we can get to the next chapter in our marriage? Ever see that? Okay.
Yeah. No, good. I'm just going to add, just let me put a little addendum on just the submission thing before I go on. We live in a community, and I'm talking to the girls now. We live in a community that has a lot of strong women. Strong women. That's not a bad thing. But imagine if we use the strength that God gave us to be an example and a representation of what it looked like to be submitted to God, to be submitted to our spouse, and to be submitted to one another. Imagine what could happen in our community if that strength that God gave all of us was directed for the good and the glory of God.
Yeah.
Imagine what it could look like.
Yeah.
And we can be a representation of that. So number five is this. We play on the same team. We play on the same team, not opposing teams. And this is what's amazing to me, completely amazing to me, is that I've seen this in all the years that we've pastored people. I've seen this happen with girls so many times. Is that when you're engaged and you fall in love and you're about to get married to the man of your dreams, he can do no wrong. He just can't do any wrong. He's wonderful. Everything he does is wonderful. Every sporting event he goes to and watches is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. And then you get married. And then the honeymoon ends, and then all of a sudden you hate everything that you thought was so wonderful before you got married.
And why do y'all do that?
And what happened? It's a gift we have. And so what happens is we forget that we're on the same team. When you're about to get married, I couldn't wait to be on Team Reisner. Couldn't wait. Put me on the team. I want to be on Team Reisner. Then you get on Team Reisner, and then you hate the team. I hate this team. I don't want to be on this team anymore. I don't like the captain of the team. Why does he have to be captain? Why can't I be captain? And it goes not only in your marriage, but your family as well. You're a team. And so if we would start acting like we're a team instead of opponents and rival teams, it would be amazing to see how smooth a marriage could go. Because if my heart and my strategy and my heart and intention was to make sure he won, because if he wins, I win. Mm. If I win, he wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have that mentality, then I'm going to do everything I can to help him win. I'm going to do everything I can to help him look good. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that we're winning in this game called life. And when we mess up and when there's mistakes, and he's going to make mistakes. And I'm going to make mistakes. But when he makes mistakes and when he falls and he doesn't run the play like I think he should have, or the play falls flat and doesn't work, I'm not there to say, I told you so. If you'd have done it my way, that's not what team members do. Team members walk over and pick him up and dust him off and speak hope and life and encouragement to the most valuable person on your team. And so if we could see it like that our marriage and our families, we're on the same team, wanting the same thing, wanting to win the same game. Don't allow the enemy to come in and bring division to where you start looking at one another like you're on opposing or rival teams.
That's very good, baby. Yeah, let me give you the last one. She really wants me to lead. She really does. And your wife really wants you to lead. It may not have come out of their mouth that way, but they really want you to be the leader. And let me help you just kind of set that up. And there's an Old Testament word called the patriarch. And you think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Those are the patriarchs of our faith, the fathers of our faith. Patriarch has another definition. It really means the decision maker, to make the decision. Now, let me be honest. She wants input. And you know what? I want her input. She wants her say, and she deserves her say. I need to honor her wisdom and give weight to it. That's what honor means. I met with one of our leaders one day, and we were talking about marriage, and I said, well, did you talk to your wife about that? And he said, no, I didn't want to burden her with it. I don't talk to her about things like that. And I said, you're making a grave mistake. You're cutting off half of your wisdom. 50% of your wisdom. Y'all are one. You're a team. And if you're not getting her counsel on this, you're making decisions with only half the wisdom that God gave you. You need to be seeking. Hey, babe, I want to talk to you about this. What do you think about this decision? But in the end, she doesn't really want to make the decision. She wants just to have her input. And it's called honor. And here's what I've found. The more I honor God, the more Heidi's willing to honor me. The more submission I show to God, the more willing she is to submit to my leadership. The more she sees me submitting to the spiritual brothers around me and their wisdom, the more she's willing to follow my leadership, because she knows it's not all just me. It's God, her input, plus the wisdom of other brothers who walk alongside me. And so I want to make sure that you understand that. She really does want you to lead. I'm the decision maker of this house. You ever heard that old saying, the more authority is like soap, the more you use it, the more you lose? If you got to remind people, and probably in our marriage, 30 years, there's probably been three times in 30 years, three. That's once every 10 years that I've had to look at Heidi and say, baby, you're going to have to submit on this one. You're going to have to submit. I hear you, I honor you, I weigh what you've said, but that's not what we're going to do. God wants us to do X. One of those was moving to Louisiana. She's like, I ain't going. I looked at her and said, woman. How did I say it?
You didn't say it that good.
How did I say it?
There's so many things he says that I need a microphone to be able to say it the real way. No, you never said that. You just said, baby, this is what we're doing. You just got to trust me. This is what we're doing. I know this is God, and this is what we're doing.
I know, but it sounds better if I say it like this. Woman, this is what we're going to do.
But it's not true.
Oh, okay.
But I will say this. Let me say this, though. On that, on those three times over all these years, every single one of those times, Eugene was right. He was right. And I had to trust God, and I had to trust him. And looking back, once the decision was made and once we got where we were going or everything played out, he was right. And that God honored that because, again, my heart eventually got there.
That's right. And here she is today. Aren't y'all glad she didn't stay in Houston? We'd be simulcasting her in right now. Here's my wife. She lives in Houston. Paul goes on to write in the book of Ephesians, and Heidi read the right ones, the highlights. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, willing to lay down his life for her. And then Paul concludes by saying this, I'm not even talking about marriage. I'm talking about Christ and the church. How we should respond to God in submission, letting him be the decision maker and the patriarch. Let following him, knowing that he's a benevolent dictator. He loves and smarter. And Paul goes on to write it. Let me just translate it for you. If you work on your marriage, I'm just talking about 1%. If you just took one thing today and said, baby, let's just work on that one. Let's just work on this one. And if you walked out of here and just worked on 1% and made a change, you'd be like a bright light out in our culture of darkness. Heidi and I had the privilege. We had our 30th anniversary at a little restaurant there, and where we went, and the little lady comes over, the little waitress, she comes over and says, "Are we celebrating anything today?" I said, "We're celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary today." She goes, "Oh, I bet y'all have some wisdom." And we said, "Are you married?" She goes, "No, I'm single. I'm not married, not really dating anybody, but I want to be married." And we said, "Girl, school is in session." And so every time she came back to check on something, we'd give her one more thing. You know, we'd give her, let me give you a big rock. Let me give you something. And we'd say, "Never keep score. Never dig up old bones." And we were just giving her little tidbits of wisdom, you know, about marriage. And the last time she comes over, she goes, "This has been amazing. I've learned so much. Y'all need to write a book." And we made a lot of mistakes. And then Heidi looks at her and goes, "You know, the real secret is our relationship with the Lord. And as I've pursued God and Eugene pursued the Lord, it makes us grow closer together. And I love God more than I love him. And he loves me. He loves God more than he loves me." And she goes, "I knew it. I knew y'all were people of faith." And we were able to just encourage her to pursue God, and that her husband was on that road. On your road to God, he'll be there. You just go after God. Don't go after the husband. Go after God. God will bring him. I just want us all to be, listen, this city is going to start coming when that building opens. And I want them to find shade under your relationship when they see you loving your wife as Christ love the church. It'll be a beacon of light in our community. People say, "I want that." Are y'all with me? Let me pray for you real quick. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me just say a quick prayer. Father, we pray a blessing over the marriages, even the future marriages that are here. As we pursue you, as I pursue God and Heidi pursues God, something happens between us. You make us closer. And so, Father, we thank you for your analogy and your messaging to us today. We receive your word. I pray, Father, that one seed of these six things we said today would fall on every heart, and that, Lord, you would help them to begin to walk and navigate that out, that the next chapter will be better than the last chapter. And so, Father, that's our prayer today. With every head bowed and eye closed, you might be here today and you may be far from Christ today. Jesus said you can't enter the kingdom or see the kingdom until you've been born again. Not christened or baptized or become a member of the church. Those are all great things, but you have to be born again. And maybe you're here today and you need to start the first relationship, get the first step right, to start anew with your Lord and Savior, Jesus. Jesus came and died on the cross for you. In fact, the way you get born again is easy. It's A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner. Just admit it. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Christ alone came to be the sin bearer, to take your sin, your guilt, and your shame. He died on a cross for it. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior today. If you'd like to be born again, this is your invitation. I want to pray for you right now. All I ask that you would do, say, "Pastor, you, that's me." And would you just hold your hand up all over this building? I'm going to pray for you right now. Say, "I want to get born again today." Thank you. I see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. I see your hand. Thank you, ma'am. 8. I see your hand. 9. I'm looking in the balcony. 9, 10, 11. Thank you. I see your hands. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Would you say this out loud with me? Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's give God praise. Would you welcome those who prayed to receive Christ today?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.